This is Rain Classic Hamcast number 40, posted May 1st, 2021. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Back in January, the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club sponsored Winterfest 2021, which featured 7 audio-video forums posted on YouTube. In February, we excerpted from the Parks on the Air forum talk given by Matt Heer, N3NWV. This week, we bring you our second and final excerpt from another Winterfest 2021 forum, this one about amateur radio satellite basics, given by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, a resident now of Urbana, Illinois. Sean worked for the ARRL for 12 years as the league's contest branch manager and media and public relations manager. Today, Sean is an avid amateur radio satellite enthusiast. Here's the conclusion of our excerpts from Sean's Amateur Radio Satellite Basics Virtual Forum.
Looking at home equipment, this is a satellite station that I assembled on purpose using equipment that I had lying around just to demonstrate what can be accomplished using gear that you may already have. My main radio at home is an ICOM 746 Pro. This is an HF radio that also has 6 meters and 2 meters built into it. I use this radio as my 2 meter receive radio, and I use my mobile rig, which is an ICOM 706 Mark IIG that I've had for several years as well. And I use that for 70 centimeter transmit. My antennas are very modest in the terms of satellite antennas. I have a homebrew 5-element 2-meter Yagi that I've got up on a push-up mast at about 25 feet. It's only in the horizontal position. I don't have the ability to control the elevation on it, so it's stuck flat in the horizontal position. My transmit antenna is what is known as an egg beater antenna from M Squared, and that is basically an omnidirectional ground plane. This is a very DIY kind of setup, and it has several limitations to it. It is not 100% foolproof or successful. As an example, the antenna that I'm using for 70 centimeters, unless you have a preamplifier on that antenna, it is rather deaf on 70 centimeters. So I don't have the ability to receive very well on 70 centimeters using this setup. And so I am limited with this setup to using the satellites that only have a 70 centimeter uplink. So I'm only listening on 2 meters. I can only use satellites that have a 2 meter downlink. So that takes about 40 to 45% of the current satellites out of my ability to use them from home. In addition, not being able to have an elevation rotator at my disposal means that I do not have a solid copy on the satellite 100% of the pass. So there will be times during a pass where the satellite fades out for a moment or two, and then it will fade back in. That is a problem that would be solved by having a rotator that had elevation control as well. Despite those limitations, I'm still able to work plenty of passes on the satellites, both FM and linear passes. Since I assembled this station in May of 2020, I've been able to work about 250 grid squares in the continental United States using this setup. So it does have some limitations, but it has proven quite successful under these conditions here in central Illinois. Lastly, I'm going to talk about the station that is used by many portable operators that want to do FM and linear passes with good success. This is a combination of 2 Yaesu FT817 transceivers, and I have those in a camera bag that I picked up on Amazon. I power those with a 9-amp-hour lithium polymer battery. I've got a headset from Heil that I use, and I use my handheld Aero antenna on 2 meters and 70 centimeters. That enables me to have a 5-watt all-mode full duplex satellite station that I can take with me anywhere. I have used this particular station and transmitted from about 45 or 50 different grid squares using this particular setup. It also offers me the ability to use some of the satellites in a nearby field that I don't have access to from my home station. Remember, I explained that my home station does not hear very well on 70 centimeters. So I can pack up this gear and go out to a nearby field that is close to my house, and I can operate the satellites with a 70 centimeter downlink using this configuration and have great success with it. So how do you track a satellite? You have to know when a satellite is going to be above your horizon in order to use it. There are several ways that you can do this. If you have a home computer, there are two major software packages that are available to you. If you're a Windows user, there is a program called SAT-PC32 that is available, and this offers complete satellite tracking as well as the ability to interface with most radios so that you can computer control your radio, and it can even automatically interface with some antenna rotators so that it will track the satellite as it goes overhead automatically. There's also a program for Mac users called Mac Doppler. I personally do not have any experience with it, but it is a very popular program. And some of the satellite operators that I've spoken with that are Mac users are very happy with that program. So options are available for both Windows and Mac users as well. There are smartphone apps that are available if you wish to download an app for it. I have an iPhone, so I'm familiar with the iPhone family of satellite apps. I use one called GoSatWatch. It is not a free app. It costs about $10, but I find that even though it is expensive as apps go, the amount of features that it has included in the app make it a very well-spent $10, at least as far as I am concerned. It provides a wealth of information, automatically updates what are known as the Keplerian elements. The Keplerian elements are what determines the orbit of a satellite, so that information is updated automatically. I find it to be a very good app, and I'm more than happy to have spent the money on it. If you don't want to spend the money on that, you can get another app called SatSat, which is free. It is not as feature rich as GoSatWatch, in my opinion, but it certainly provides the information that you need to determine when a satellite is overhead. If you have an Android, there are a couple that are pretty good. One is called AmSat Droid that is available, or you can get an app from the Heavens Above website. They also have an app that you can download that will help you track many things besides just the amateur radio satellites with that app. If all else fails, there are a couple of websites that you can go to get past prediction information. One is the AmSat website. AmSat is the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. They are the primary organization in the States that is responsible for providing engineering support and getting satellites launched here in the States. They have a past predictions page that will give you information on when a satellite is going to be overhead for you. And there's also the website n2yo.com, which is a very good website that will provide graphic information on multiple types of satellites, not just amateur radio satellites. n2yo.com. There are a few things to keep in mind when pursuing satellite operating. The first is, we talked about this a little bit, which is full duplex operating. And again, full duplex is the ability to hear yourself on the satellite's downlink in real time as you are transmitting. If you're working an FM satellite, it is very helpful to have full duplex capability. If you are trying to operate the linear satellites, it is all but critical. You almost have to have it in order to succeed using the linear satellites because of the next item on the list, which is the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect is in play. I'm sure that we've all heard the train whistle as it goes past. You're standing in place. The train whistle toots as it goes by, and you hear the whistle decrease in pitch. The same thing is happening with the amateur radio satellites. You have a satellite that is orbiting overhead at 17,000 miles an hour, and the frequencies that it is functioning on relative to you standing still on Earth are going to adjust as the satellite is moving across the sky. So you will have to adjust your frequencies to keep everything zero beat and properly aligned on frequency as the satellite passes overhead. Higher the frequency, the more that Doppler is going to affect those frequencies. So the 70 centimeter frequency is going to need correction more often than the 2 meter frequency will. So if you are using a satellite that has a 2 meter uplink and a 70 centimeter downlink, you are going to need to adjust your receive frequency a few times as the satellite passes overhead.
You're listening to a talk by Sean Kutzko, KX9X, on amateur radio satellite basics, given during the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club's virtual Winterfest 2021. We'll conclude Sean's presentation after you identify your station. This is the Rain Classic Hamcast number 40. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Classic Rain from www.therainreport.com.
The FM satellites, all but one of them, require a CTCSS tone in order to access them. Most of them have a 67 hertz tone. There is one satellite that uses a different tone, but you need to make sure that when you're using the FM satellites that you have your CTCSS tone enabled on your transmit signal, or else you are not going to make it into the satellite. Your location is going to determine a lot of the success that you have using satellites. If you can get a perfectly clear horizon, you will have the best success. Buildings, other objects, including leafy trees, will affect your performance on the satellite, especially on 70 centimeters. Leafy trees can interfere on 70 centimeters quite substantially. So you want to see what you can do to get away from as many of the objects as possible. If you can set up on a high hill with a 360-degree view of the horizon, that would be the ideal operating location. If you live in a more urban environment, you might consider transmitting from the top of a parking garage if you can get access to one. I did that when I was in London, as I mentioned earlier, back in 2018, and had quite good success with that. So anything you can do to not necessarily raise your height, but lower your horizon is going to be of great benefit to you. And finally, the cardinal rule of operating satellites. If you cannot hear the satellite, do not transmit. More often than not, there are plenty of cases where stations trying to access a satellite, especially for a newer operator, they are not able to hear the satellite, but they're still able to make it into the satellite on transmit. That often leads to unintentional interference with other users of the satellite who can hear it. So we stress very rigorously, if you are not able to hear any signals on the satellite, take a minute and check out your equipment and see if there might be some sort of technical issue at play. But if you don't hear the satellite, please do not transmit until you hear it. Okay, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite topics of satellite operating, which is roving. And roving is simply taking your satellite gear and transmitting from a grid square other than the one that you live in. You can transmit from multiple grid squares over the course of time. You don't have to do all of these at once. It's very easy to pack up some of the portable gear that I've shown here in this presentation. Take it with you on vacation or a business trip if you travel for business and you find yourself with periods of downtime at the hotel. This might be a good way to fill some of that time. Or you could do what a lot of rovers do, which is to take a dedicated adventure to go activate some of the rarer grid squares in the United States. Just as in the VHF, UHF community who pursue grid squares on 6 meters and 2 meters, or people who pursue the DXCC award, some of those locations are going to be very, very rare and in high demand. And if you enjoy HF operating or VH operating, where you're working with pileup, where you have several stations calling you at once, this can be a tremendous amount of fun. If you go to activate a rare grid square on satellite, chances are you're going to get quite a good pileup and be very popular. So how do you know what grids are rare? There is a gentleman up in Minnesota named Paul, K-E-0-P-B-R, who has started crowdsourcing information from active satellite operators as to what grids they have worked and what grids they still need. And he has started publishing that information on a weekly basis on Twitter, which you can find at the Twitter handle GridMasterHeat in the lower left of this document here. So this map is a map of all 488 grid squares in the 48 United States. It's what is known as a heat map. So the locations that are in green are grids that are very, very common, and it shows the identifier of each grid square and the percentage of hams that have worked this grid square already. So the ones in green are very common. Lots of hams reporting for this project have already worked that grid, but the ones that are yellow and orange are rarer. And so those are in need of attention and those need operators. So if you look in central Missouri, you'll see that there are a couple of grids that could use a little attention, especially EM46 down on the Missouri-Arkansas border. If you are interested in portable operating or mobile operating and would like to take your satellite gear and go transmit from some of these grid squares, you would make a lot of people very happy and you would be high in demand. Roving is tremendous amounts of fun and anybody can do it. One of the prime examples of a successful rover is Ruth Willett, KM4LAO. She is a student at Kettering University up in Flint, Michigan. She does not have a whole lot of time to do ham radio while she's pursuing her studies. So most of her operating is done either on the weekends or during breaks when she is able to see her family and go on family vacations. When she is on those weekends or family vacations, she takes her satellite gear with her and goes to as many different rare locations as she possibly possibly can.
That concludes Sean Kutzko, KX9X's talk about one of his favorite subjects, amateur radio satellites. His was one of 7 audio-video forums posted on YouTube in January 2021 by SLSRC, the St. Louis and Suburban Radio Club's Winterfest 2021, audio courtesy of SLSRC. You can watch Sean's 6-part video series on satellite operating on the DX Engineering YouTube channel, and you can follow Sean on Twitter at Sean Kutzko. That's at SEANKUTZKO. The Rain Classic Hamcast is produced by its founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, twice a month. It is copyright 1985, 2021, Rain. All rights are reserved. Rain Classic Hamcast number 41 will post May 18th, 2021, on therainreport.com. Remember, we still need to keep wearing our masks, washing our hands, and keeping our social distancing. And don't forget to keep on hamming.